Let's kick open the garage doors. My first caller this hour. This is a little bit of a surprise for me. I don't think in all my years on radio I've ever been the one to be interviewed. But we're doing this at the request of Madeline. She's from Green Bay, Wisconsin. I understand she's 12 years old. She's attending a class or taking a class on technology and auto repair. She needs to interview a mechanic, and lucky me, I'm the guy. So without any further ado, I guess we're going to turn the microphone over to Madeline. Are you there?
Hey.
How are you?
Good. How about you?
Good. I've never been anybody's homework before.
Oh, well, I guess it's the first time for both of us.
There you go. So tell us a little bit about yourself. What is it that you're taking in school?
Well, I'm a 12-year-old girl from Green Bay, Wisconsin, and I go to Edison Middle School.
Okay.
A class that I'm taking is called Technology, and we make CO2 cars, and now we're doing a presentation on a career that we want to do when we grow up. I want to be a mechanic.
You want to be a mechanic. Well, good for you.
Yes, I do.
Hey, more power to you. You know what? We need people that can do this, and if you have interest in it, that's half the battle.
Yeah.
So what sort of things are they teaching there about cars at Edison Middle School?
We made CO2 cars that we raced. We built it out of pine cars, and like the suspension that we learned, and like aerodynamics and how wind can affect how fast your car goes.
Mm. And listen, don't take anything that they teach you too lightly, because I'll tell you what, it's from those little things you learn at this age that can make you into an engineer somewhere 10 years, 15 years down the road. So fire away. What kind of questions is it that we need to answer?
Okay, so one of the questions I have to ask you is, how many years have you been a mechanic?
43.
Wow, I wish I could do that when I grow up.
Yeah, I started turning wrenches at the tender age of 16, and I've been doing it, I'll be 60 in August, I'm not afraid to admit it. I've been doing it almost 44 years. Thank you.
Second question, what is your favorite part of being a mechanic?
Oh, that's easy. I like fixing the hard to fix. I like taking something that I don't understand and understanding it while at the same time solving a problem for somebody that nobody else could solve. That, you know, I think to be a mechanic, I think like anything else, to do a good job today, I think you've got to have just a touch of ego, said the guy who's on radio. And, you know, you've got to be able to thump your chest. And if you look at everything as, oh, I don't want to do this and I don't want to do that, you lose the significance of it. I think if you're going to be successful in whatever you do in life, you want to be able to thump your chest and say, look what I did. And I get to do that by fixing something nobody else can fix.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, you know, just one-on-one, you and me, that's the way it is. I love that. You know, I remember as a kid, I'll never forget my fascination. You know, I didn't think I was going to be a mechanic forever. I didn't start out to be a mechanic, but it just, you know, the universe always brought me back to fixing cars. I used to go see my friend Russell when he worked at the Volkswagen dealership, and you know, we'd hang out, and Russell started out as a mechanic working on cars, and I was doing it part-time at the moment. And I remember there was a guy up there, and he was Tony. We called him Fat Tony because he weighed about 400 pounds. He was this big giant of a man. You got to realize, two 18, 19-year-old kids, this is a big impact on our life. And we would watch Tony work on Volkswagens every day. And he was the top dog in the shop, and he worked on the hard to solve, the ridiculous to solve. He had every hard problem under the sun. One day he got a four-cylinder Volkswagen. This was the late 70s. He got a four-cylinder Volkswagen diesel, and I'll never forget this. It came off the truck brand new. It didn't make enough power. And he worked on that car for 3 days. And he took everything apart, and he looked at everything, and he, you know, went through the whole gamut of what could be wrong with that car. And on the third day, because I would always stop by and see Russell for lunch, he knew we were interested. He said, come on over, I'll show you what I found. And the exhaust manifold, the four exhaust ports, had been drilled, but one of the exhaust ports only had been drilled about an inch and a half down inside the manifold. You couldn't even see it. And Tony basically took a flexible wand, and he went down each port, and he went down one of the ports, and it was clunk, and it didn't go all the way through. And somebody didn't drill out the exhaust manifold properly on the assembly line, and that's what made that engine run like it did. And when I looked at that, I always remember that, because that was the most difficult thing at the time I had ever seen, and it made Tony feel good. You could see Tony thump his chest, and I said, you know what, that's got to be a great feeling. That's why I want to be a mechanic, and voila, here I am.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, thank you. Next question.
Next question. What kind of school do I need to get hired as a mechanic?
The school of hard knocks. You know, you need to, and I get this a lot, I think to be a mechanic, and I'll tell you what, Madeline, this is our first conversation, but I think you got more on the ball than most of the mechanics I've talked to lately. You've got desire, and that's the first school that you have to pass. If you've got desire, my late father-in-law always said, the cream always rises to the top, and where there's a will, there's a way, not to be cliche. I think you've got to go get some kind of trade school. But I think you've also got to realize that if you go to a 2-year technical school on automotive, you're only a half or third of the way in. You know, just because you graduate with that degree in hand, there's just too many things you're going to see in real life when you're working in the garage in terms of what happens and how and all those unexpected things that book learning just doesn't teach you. And to a large degree, it's like life is like cars. And I think I would go get a job, you know, when you can, when you turn of working age, I would go get a job sweeping up in a garage. If there's a local garage that'll give you a job, you know, from time school gets out at 3 o'clock till 5 o'clock supper time, just sweep the floor for a year and just watch what the mechanics go through and see what they learn. And you'll see and get the idea of what it is to fix cars. And then from that point, go take a trade school. And then from that stage, get out and get into a garage, anybody that'll hire you, and just listen. Don't talk a lot. Ask the questions where you can, but just be prepared to absorb what you can. And it'll take easily 4 to 6 years of an apprenticeship of that type before you've absorbed enough that you can carry the wrench and do it on your own. Hey, Madeline, I got to pull over and take a pause. Sit tight right where you are. All right. I don't want to only do half the homework. When we come back, we'll finish up this assignment. All right. Okay. Thank you, Madeline. I'm Ron Anini in the Car Doctor, here with Madeline from Green Bay, Wisconsin. We'll both be back right after this. Here I come in my hey, welcome back. Ron Anini in the Car Doctor, rolling along this hour, talking to Madeline, Green Bay, Wisconsin, helping her with her homework, as I am the homework this segment this hour, as we're talking to her. She's talking to me, actually. I'm being interviewed about being an auto mechanic. Madeline, are you still there? Madeline? Wait a minute.
Okay, so
there you are. Yeah, there you go. I'm sorry, sweetheart. Let's go. What's the next question?
The next question. What qualifies do you look for when you hire people?
That's easy. And I've hired a few over my years, and I do a very informal interview. But you have to understand, I'm a smaller repair shop. We're 3 bays, 4 if you count the one outside. You know, at my biggest, I've only been a half a dozen guys. You know, I do, you know, obviously I take a job application. I will look at where they've been, what they're capable of doing, presentation, are they neat and clean? And I'm not looking for somebody wearing Park Avenue clothes, but I'm looking for somebody that shows up orderly, and I have to think about how they're going to represent my business. That's important because appearance counts in auto repair. And manners counts in auto repair, and common sense counts in auto repair, like it does in so many other things. But I actually do the best part of my interview. I do a very informal interview, and when I'm done, I usually wander out to the shop and I start sweeping the floor, and I'll sweep I'll sweep the floor for 5 minutes, and they'll watch me. Now I'll get done with sweeping the floor, and while I'm standing there sweeping up, once in a while, one of them will take out a cigarette, finish the cigarette, and put it out in the pile of ash on the floor and, you know, look at me like, oh, yeah, I can pick it up. Sometimes they'll flick the ash on the floor. Sometimes they'll leave the cigarette butt in a hard-to-get spot. Sometimes they don't see the no-smoking sign. And generally, the ones that smoke in the shop don't seem to get the job too quick because they're not the ones that I'm really concerned with. They're not too alert. But the one that does get the job is, over the years, have always been the ones that, when I was done sweeping the floor, they went and got the dustpan. They figured it out.
Oh, cool.
All right. And I figured if they could finish my sentence, then they know what I'm thinking. then we're compatible, because that's probably one of the biggest things about auto repair. You got to be compatible. I think whether you're in a small repair shop or you're in a 20-person dealership, you know, you're going to be working side by side with somebody, and when they're reaching for the wrench, you've got to be reaching for the ratchet, and you've got to know what size off the top of your head. So anticipating somebody's moves always impresses me.
And yeah, you have to work together.
Yeah, right, exactly. Exactly. If you find somebody that, you know, you're both reaching for the screwdriver at the same time and it happens at the same moment, yeah, there's a compatibility issue there. Somebody's wired different. And that's okay. They're just not wired for me. That's all.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Any more?
Last question. Okay. What things can I do now to prepare myself for this career?
How long have you wanted to be a mechanic?
Since I was 4, I started racing RC cars since
right.
I was 4.
Right. What is it that you like about being a mechanic?
Well, I love learning new stuff about the car, and I've built a 4-wheel drive, and it's interesting how things work and how it all works together to make the car move.
Right. Let me tell you the story this way. Let me answer your question this way. You're on the right track. All right, taking things apart and understanding how they work is half the battle. When my dad passed away when I was a little kid. I was a little younger than you. I was 11, and I was a lost kid. My father wasn't a mechanic. He was lead mechanic American Airlines during the war, and he worked on President Roosevelt's DC-3. And I remember as a little kid, I'd sit on the fender of the car and watch my father tune up the car before family vacation. And, you know, I remember my mom yelling, "Harry, we've got to go." "Yeah, okay, I'm just tuning up the car. I'll never forget it." And I learned a lot by watching, but I think what impressed me the most was the fact that he could take that car and, you know, it was in pieces, and then hours later we went away on a trip. And my point is, after he was gone, I just started taking things apart. I was like you, all right? A lot of mechanical curiosity. How does it work, and how does it go back together? And that's the key. So to answer your question, you know, what can you do to prepare yourself? Keep taking things apart. Make sure you have permission of everybody, because unfortunately I didn't. And when I started taking things apart at the age of 12, my mother came out at 15 and said, "If you don't start putting some of these things back together," we had in a collection of washing machines, dishwashers, mini bikes, go-karts, all kinds of things from the neighborhood collected in the backyard. She said, "You're out of here, buddy." And I think she was kidding when she said it, but the fact remains that taking things apart and putting them back together taught me more than any book ever could. However, the game's changed a little bit, and there's so much reading involved. And if I was going to start to build the perfect mechanic, I would definitely make sure they know how to type, read, understand electricity, basic electricity. I would take a physics class. I would take a science class just to have a basic understanding of the relationships of things. All right?
Sure.
Make sure you know computers. And make sure, absolutely positively, you don't mind getting dirty and you know, dogging it with things over time, because some things are going to stick with you and you got to have some tenacity. Hey, Madeline, the clock's going to grab us, but listen, I just want to let you know it's been an absolute pleasure. Stay on the line, because Tom Ray, my engineer, wants to get your information. We're going to send you and your dad out a couple of Car Doctor hats and T-shirts. And
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, sweetheart. Good luck to you. And if you ever need anything, put me down as a character reference. I'll be glad to give you one. I'm Ron Ananey and the Car Doctor. We are back right after this.